The Supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day He appointed for a rising. To Thee belongs praise, for Thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst Thou willed, Thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to Thee belongs praise, for Thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate Thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for Thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to Thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to Thee, to be joyful in worshipping Thee, to be desirous of Thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me Thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom Thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. I'm so glad to welcome you to this program, today's special, which is presented to you by IRIB English Radio. The topic of this episode is Theology in the View of Imam Ali, peace be upon him. Ali. We look at the calendar. Today, Tuesday, is the 11th of Rajab, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 5th of Isfan, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 23rd of February, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we'll listen to chapter Ma'idah. Chapter Ma'idah, verse 3.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. حرمت عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل لغير الله به والمنخنقة والموقوذة والمتردية والنطيحة وما أكل السبع إلا ما ذكيتم وما ذبح على النصب وأن تستقسموا بالأزلام ذلكم فسق اليوم يئس الذين كفروا من دينكم فلا تخشوهم واخشون اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا فمن اضطر في مخمصة غير متجانف لإثم فإن الله غفور رحيم.
Prohibited to you are dead animals, blood, the flesh of swine, and that which has been dedicated to other than Allah, and those animals killed by strangling, or by a violent blow, or by a headlong fall, or by the goring of horns, and those from which a wild animal has eaten, except what you are able to slaughter before its death, and those which are sacrificed on stone altars. And prohibited is that you seek decision through divining arrows. That is grave disobedience. This day those who disbelieve have despaired of defeating your religion. So fear them not, but fear me. This day I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you and have approved for you Islam as religion. But whoever is forced by severe hunger with no inclination to sin, then indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Which day is the day of the perfection of religion? The answer to this question is the day of Qadir Khum. This fact has been cited by Shia commentators in their books in the case that many traditions referred to by the scholars of both great sects, the Shiites and the Sunnis. That day, I mean the day of Qadir Khum, was the day when the Prophet of Islam formally assigned Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam as his successor. It was on that day that Islam reached its final perfection and pagans sank deep inside the waves of their despair. They expected Islam to be subsistent in person, and by diminishing the Prophet, the circumstances would change to the former state so that Islam could gradually vanish.
تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاقيا قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي لها ولا راغي.
Imam Ali and philosophy of religion. Next to sincere faith in the oneness of Allah and the prophethood of the Holy Prophet, Imam Ali lays great stress on piety. He wants us to realize that piety is not a delicious morsel to be swallowed easily, not it is a dip in the river to clean dirts and filth from the body. Piety means actions, and those actions in the beginning may be sour, harsh, and painful to perform. Piety means to free oneself from vicious desires and wicked deeds. This freedom cannot be obtained but by constant efforts and endeavors. Such efforts are a continuous struggle and long-drawn combat against the vicious craving of mind. Nobody can be free from vices and sins unless he develops the capacity to abhor them. When once this capacity develops, adopting a pious and sober life becomes a habit and second nature. Few things are forbidden to you, and so many things are allowed, that no one is deprived of normal relaxations, ease and comfort, and of sober and harmless pleasure and pursuits. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. Concerning knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Ali alayhi salam indicated that dhahara fil uqul bima yura fi khalqihi min alamat al-tadbir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reached his manifestation, or the manifestations of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appeared in the signs available and in the signs discernible by and through his creatures. And that is, in the creatures created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those minds that are sharp enough will come to the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or those people who are really insightful, very sharp-sighted, cannot deny the presence of God in the whole universe and in the whole nature. And it's indicated also, صَارَ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ خَلَغَ حُجَّةٌ لَهُ وَمُنْتَسَبٌ إِلَيْهِ فَإِنْ كَانَ خَلْغًا صَامِتًا فَحُجَّةُ بِالتَّدْبِيرِ نَاطِقَةً فِيهِ. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, created is a proof for his existence and is ascribed to him. So when a creature, created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't able to speak, at least isn't able to speak out, at least its presence is well indicative of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
الله مولاي وأنا مولى المؤمنين ألا من كنت مولاه فهذا علي مولاه اللهم وال من والاه وعاد من عاداه أيها الناس الحق دائما مع علي وعلي مع الحق.
This is today's special and the first sermon of Nahjul Balagha. Praise is due to Allah. Thus, whoever attaches attributes to Allah recognizes his like, and whoever recognizes his like regards him too. And whoever regards him as two recognizes parts for him, and whoever recognizes parts for him mistook him. He whoever mistook him pointed at him, and whoever pointed at him admitted limitations for him, and whoever admitted limitations for him numbered him. Whoever said, "In what is he?" held that he is contained, and whoever said, "On what is he?" held his not on something else.
Alhamdulillah alladhi Alhamdulillah alladhi جعلنا من المتمسكين بولايته علي بن أبي طالب والأئمة المعصومين عليهم السلام.
Imam Ali alayhi salam and anger management. Everything is only for the sake of Allah. In the Battle of Khandaq, the Muslims dug a ditch around themselves for their defense. so that the enemy could not get across. A man from the enemy side called Amr ibn Abduwat, who was known for his strength, courage, and art of fighting, managed to get across the ditch. All the Muslims were terrified to fight him, and only Imam Ali alayhi salam came forward to fight this man. There was a fierce fight until at last Imam Ali threw Amr down onto the ground and mounted his chest, ready to kill him. Just as Imam Ali was about to kill this enemy of Islam, he spit on the face of Imam Ali. Imam Ali moved from Amr's chest and walked away. Amr ibn Abduwat attacked Hazrat Ali again, and after a short while, Imam Ali again overpowered and killed him. After the battle was over, people asked Imam Ali alayhi salam the reason why he had spared Amr's, to which Imam Ali replied that if he had killed him, then it would have not been only for the sake of Allah, but also for the satisfaction of his anger, and so he let him free.
Imam alayhi salam highlights the gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, وَلَا يُؤَدِّي حَقَّهُ الْمُجْتَهِدُونَ. No eloquent speaker has the capacity to list the bounties and the blessings of Allah. No speaker has the capacity to praise God and to do justice to the position of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Imam alayhi salam says no one can reach the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No eloquent speaker can do justice to the Almighty God and what He's given us. If you look at the factors, the billions of factors that worked together to make life possible for us, you will realize how you can never ever thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every cell in your body, every atom in your body, if you want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it, could you? Scientists today are telling us that millions of factors work together so that planet Earth can sustain life. Have I thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for each of those factors?
Dear brothers and sisters, I leave you in the protection and care of Allah, the Almighty. Fi amanillah.
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and let us start the day by pondering on an aphorism from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Incapacity is a catastrophe. Endurance is bravery. Abstinence is riches. Self-restraint is a shield against sin. And the best companion is submission to Allah's will.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In continuing our discussion on the tradition that has been narrated to us, has come to us by Hisham ibn Hakam, which he narrates from Imam Kadhim alayhi salam, we have reached the 16th section of this beautiful tradition of the 7th Holy Imam alayhi salam. In this tradition, this section of the tradition, the Imam alayhi salam pinpoints two important characteristics of that person who possesses, or rather who uses, his intellect. That his intellect and the ability for him to use that intellect doesn't distract him from doing something else. Nor are those pleasures, so-called, in inverted commas, sweetness of something that is illicit and haram and forbidden, comes and overcomes his patience in refraining from doing those things. So it's a very beautiful part of the tradition from Imam Kadhim alayhi salam. So the Imam alayhi salam says, "Oh Hisham, he who employs and uses his intellect, that person who possesses intellect, is never distracted from giving thanks by an abundance of things that are good and lawful." So just because he is doing a lot of things, he has given, or rather has been given, numerous blessings by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is not that person who is distracted by these things. Rather, he is that person who knows that this is not something that I myself have earned, but rather it has come to me from a higher power. I might not even be deserving of these things, but at the end of the day, I need to give thanks for them. He does not over-rationalize things. He does not over, as we say, he doesn't overthink things. He knows that, you know, there is a certain position for him in this world. And those things which he gains, he needs to give thanks for. And as again, we've mentioned what thanks and showing thanks in a deeper level is. And then the Imam alayhi salam continues and says, and his self-restraint, that he himself, you know, keeps himself in control. He stops himself from doing certain things. Is never overwhelmed or overcome by the abundance of things that are desirable to him, yet they are forbidden and illicit. Right? As we said previously, in inverted commas, the sweetness of the haram, you know, does not draw him towards doing it. It does not pull him. He is able to, you know, control and have that sabr and that patience and that self-restraint to control himself. That no, yes, okay, fine. This is temporarily sweet. But there's a time when, you know, there is a punishment that will come. So a person who has that intellect, who uses intellect, will understand that no, a temporal sweetness is not something I should swap for that is eternal, that will last forever and is infinite. Inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of these individuals, inshallah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I'm lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more. If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me, proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim. Dini al-Islam, dini wal-Adham ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Today, we're going to be delving into the Islamic laws about the ladies according to Ayatollah Sistani. Before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
The Grand Ayatollah Sistani comes from the family of scholars and pious men. He learned theological and rational sciences from many eminent and well-known religious scholars. At the age of 5, His Eminence started learning the Holy Quran. He was then admitted in a religious center for reading, writing, and for learning basic mathematics and geography. In the beginning of 1360 Hijri, he started studying basic Hauza lessons. He also studied a number of books on philosophy like Sharh Manzuma Sabzawari and Sharh Ashraq. Meanwhile, he attended Kharij lectures by the late Mirza Mehdi Ashtiani and the late Mirza Hashim Qazvini. In the late 1368 Hijri, he migrated to Qum to accomplish his studies in fiqh and usul. His eminence left Qum for Najaf al-Ashraf. On having arrived in Najaf, he began attending Qayatullah Khoi and Sheikh Hussain Hilli's lectures in jurisprudence and the fundamentals of jurisprudence. In 1380 Hijri, Ayatollah Sistani traveled back to his hometown, the holy city of Mashhad, expecting to stay and settle down there. In the same year, he was awarded a permit by Imam Al-Khoi and another by Sheikh Hilli, certifying that he had attained the level of ijtihad, that is, deduction of legal judgment in matters of religion.
Sheikh Tawbit, let's talk about some of the ladies-related Islamic laws, right?
Sure.
When can a woman consider herself as being in the state of haiz?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, I would like to explain the term, the technical or the key term that we are going to use in our conversations, the term haiz. This term is often used, and of course there are girls who might not understand what actually it means. So there are two terms which are very much associated with each other. One is haiz and the other one is istihaza, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Haiz is the regular monthly bleeding, mm-hmm, or the regular monthly discharge.
Menstruation.
Yeah, it's called monthly period, it's called menstruation, or sometimes it's called menses, monthly, okay, blood, and so on and so forth. These are the different terms which are used in connection with haiz. Now, istihaza is another word which means irregular bleeding, okay? Because women...
Istihaza.
Yeah, istihaza. Women discharge blood, and sometimes the blood is not regular.
Occasional blood discharge.
It comes off and on, okay? So that that blood which comes, which is interrupted, mm-hmm, okay? For example, a woman sees blood for one day, the next day she does not see any blood, and then on the third day she sees blood. This is not istihaza, okay? This is not haiz.
Uh-huh.
It is istihaza.
I see.
So the period, the minimum period of haiz is not less than 3 days. And the maximum number of days in which a woman can see monthly blood,
mm-hmm,
is not more than 10 days. Is not more. So maybe we can elaborate it further,
right,
by saying that if a woman sees blood and she suspects that she might have gotten her monthly period, so she must wait and see whether, for example, the blood comes continuously for 3 days or not, whether the blood flows for 3 days or not. When it's not necessary, actually, for the blood to flow, to come out. The presence of the blood is sufficient by itself in order for the woman to be considered as haiz or as a menstruating woman,
mm-hmm,
okay?
I see.
And also, monthly blood or the monthly the menstrual blood actually has certain signs, features, and those signs have to be taken into consideration. They are very important signs for the woman to differentiate between regular bleeding or the monthly period and the istihaza, which is irregular, mm-hmm, discharge of blood. For example, if the blood is red or dark or if it comes with irritation,
mm-hmm.
and also if it comes with a little with force, you know, it does come with force, and then it should be considered as the blood of haiz or the menstrual blood.
Otherwise, you mean if there is no force behind it?
Sometimes it's
not only the irregularity of the blood discharge, right?
Yes. Sometimes these signs may not be observed by a woman. The blood might be very light,
mm-hmm.
okay, in color, and there may not be any kind of irritation. There may not be any kind of any of those signs,
mm-hmm.
okay. But it is the time in which a woman usually sees the blood of her, the menstrual blood, okay.
Yes.
Because some women have a fixed habit of menstruation, and some do not have that fixed habit of menstruation. Women who have a fixed habit of menstruation, they know when and what day or what date they are going to have their monthly period. And of course, even if those signs are not present, then still that blood is considered as the blood of menstruation.
The Office of Ayatollah Sistani is currently providing the following services. 1. Board of Istifta, replying to religious questions. 2. Helping the poor, needy, homeless, and those who have suffered losses by earthquakes and floods. 3. Sending books for people who want to understand and learn Islam. 4. Hajj delegation. 5. Sending preachers. Board of Istifta is a link between Ayatollah Sistani and people. It provides them with answers to questions pertaining to religious, ideological, social, and educational matters in accordance with the verdicts and rulings of Ayatollah Sistani. For more information, visit the website of Ayatollah Sistani at www.sistani.org. You can also ask your questions through the following email, english@sistani.org.
Are there any huge differences between the laws, the Islamic laws, about a woman experiencing, the state of haiz and istihada?
Do you mean
are there any differences between the laws, whether a woman is menstruating?
There is a big, very big difference between these two laws, you know. When it comes to haiz or the monthly period, of course, a woman is not allowed to offer prayer. It is haram for her to observe fast. It is haram for her to enter a mosque or to pause in a mosque or to, let's say, to pick something from a mosque or to even enter a mosque, especially when it comes to Masjid al-Haram and Masjid al-Nabi. Entering in these mosques is not allowed.
But that doesn't apply to the woman experiences the other, right?
These rules never and do not apply to a woman in the state of istihaza.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because a woman in the state of istihaza is supposed to offer her prayers.
Mm-hmm, I see.
She's supposed to observe fast and also do other religious duties. But, okay, depending on the quality and the quantity of her blood, I'm speaking about istihaza, okay?
Right.
Depending on the quantity of blood, if the blood or if the amount of blood discharged by a woman is actually very little, she has to observe one wudu for every prayer. One wudu for every prayer.
Mm-hmm.
If the blood discharged by a woman is medium, she has to observe ghusl in the morning, in the evening, okay, in the afternoon.
Yes.
And of course, if the blood is excessive, she has to perform ghusl, one in the morning, another in the afternoon, and then another ghusl for the Maghrib and Isha prayers. So we have to see a woman has to see and check herself whether the amount of blood is excessive, medium, or little,
mm-hmm.
little. So these are the major differences. Of course, there are other differences also
That I'm going to ask you, in fact, one by one. But before that, we have little time. Let me just squeeze in a little question or a small question here. Sure. Is there any kind of certain age group of the women or the girls who experience height?
That's a pretty good question, because this question is raised by a lot of people. There are people who are under the impression that the Hashemites, for example, they have to observe, they will discharge menstrual blood until 60, while other non-Hashemites do not discharge menstrual blood after the age of 50. So these are the differences, okay? And these differences have to be checked by the people and the followers, depending on who a person follows. Every individual, every woman has to follow her own mujtahid and act according to the fatwa and rulings issued by her own mujtahid. Now, a girl starts menstruating at the age of 9, and she might start, okay? Maybe she will start menstruating at the age of 10, 11, 12, 13, okay, it differs. But it doesn't mean that when a woman starts menstruating, that is the time when she has to offer her prayer, that's the time when she has to start fasting, because the age of maturity or the age of obligation, Shari'i obligation, has nothing to do with menstruation, okay?
Yes.
Of course, there are some religious authorities who actually argue that, okay, whenever a woman starts menstruating, that is the time when she enters the age of maturity, or that is the time when she attains puberty. But that's not the fatwa given by Atlas. Then inshallah we will discuss it further in the next episode.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. That was the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagian.
One of the aspects, one of the areas of the life of Ali ibn Abi Talib that we need to understand correctly, otherwise we will face trouble. It could be used against the path of Ali ibn Abi Talib, is the 25 years of silence that Amir al-Mu'mineen had after the demise of the Prophet, save about a few weeks, a few months. There's different figures that have been given right after the demise of the Holy Prophet, where he was either involved with correcting the deviation that had been created at the time, or he was silent in the house. After that, he came out in support of the establishment, Ali ibn Abi Talib, who fought against the leadership of those who claimed leadership after the Holy Prophet, against the teachings of the Holy Prophet. The same Ali ibn Abi Talib, according to his own words in Nahjul Balagha, he goes out and he starts helping them, supporting them in different ways. One of the important ways that Ali ibn Abi Talib supports that establishment is by giving them genuine advice. Genuine advice. And some of that is even found in Nahjul Balagha itself. There's quotes from the second Khalifa in this regard. He has confessed to this. But besides that, you can find some of the words, it's not all of them, even in the various other sources. Unfortunately, history does not record every little detail. We get glimpses, we get tidbits, we get pieces of what he said, what he did. Ali ibn Abi Talib supported the establishment. What establishment is this? This is an establishment. The person leading it is not someone approved of by Allah. Not only that, it is a person that usurped, knowing that he is not worthy, he is not qualified, and the one who is qualified is Ali ibn Abi Talib. They went to his door, burned his door, disrespected his wife, did all of that. This is the person who is in charge of this establishment at the time. Ali ibn Abi Talib supports this establishment. And this is part of the jihad of Ali ibn Abi Talib. A very difficult jihad, something that none of us would be able to do. None of us would be able to do. Not only none of us here, none of our ulama would be able to do. None of our ulama, okay? No one would be able to do something like that. There's too much pain for you to be able to come out and do something like that. For Allah, جَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ Ali ibn Abi Talib, we say to them, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ جَاهَدْتَ فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ By Allah, every second of the life of Ali ibn Abi Talib is jihad fi sabilillah. In so many different ways that we can't even get our heads around it. Ali ibn Abi Talib understands, although he is the Khalifa of the Prophet, he is the rightful ruler after the Prophet, he is someone that has been oppressed by these people personally. The haq, the truth of Islam in regards to leadership after the Prophet has been disrespected, has been transgressed. He understands all of that. But he understands that his taklif at that point is not only not to fight it any longer after the few months after the demise of the Prophet, not only not to fight it, but to support it. Support an establishment that is not just, that is not what Islam says, the person, the system, it's not. Yet you're supposed to support. And where is it that we are not supposed to support it? And where is it that we have got to go against? And to what degree? We've got to understand that. This is all an obligation. When he says, كُنْ لِلظَّالِمِ خَصْمًا وَلِلْمَظْلُومِ عَوْنًا How are you going to be the khasm, the enemy of the oppressors? How are you going to be the helper of those who are oppressed? What does that translate to in action? I will put something out very briefly, a very general outline. A very general outline. This is something that deserves a lot of study, thorough research. A lot of details are there that need to be covered. All I am presenting is a brief outline of the reasons why it was not only correct, it was a must for Ali ibn Abi Talib salamullahi alayhi, not only to remain silent and not fight them, but to come forward and support them. Out of the outline, I think I can only have time to explain two important conditions that led to that decision. The first has to do with why Ali ibn Abi Talib did not continue fighting the establishment in the early days of its establishment. After a few days, a few weeks of trying to fight them in different ways, you know some of the details, there are many details there, the different things that he did, the different things that the Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha did. Why did he not continue? That's one thing, that a very general guideline in regards to it we're going to be mentioning. And then in terms of supporting it, what was the purpose, what was the objective, what was the desired outcome of supporting the establishment without which that outcome would not be possible? And again, in a very general, and to give us a direction to think, it gives us a little bit of clarity in terms of finding a direction, a rough direction for ourselves today. It's not something just to analyze history. It gives us a general understanding that helps us roughly figure out what direction we need to move towards today in the conditions that we are. The first point, why did Ali ibn Abi Talib stop fighting the establishment? He initially engaged in that. In fact, the very fact that they came to the door and they behaved in the way they did was out of fear that Ali ibn Abi Talib will escalate his opposition against the newly established deviant authority and government, against the teachings of the Prophet. Why did he stop? The reason why he stopped has been mentioned by the Holy Prophet, by Amirul Mu'mineen. Perhaps the other Imams have put this forth to us as well. I have seen it in the words of the Holy Prophet and Amirul Mu'mineen. The Holy Prophet told him, if you don't have support, do not proceed. Amirul Mu'mineen says something similar to that. We're trying to analyze this. Amirul Mu'mineen did not have people that were going to support his government. The understanding of the people was not such that they were able to digest and understand the conditions such that they would realize that in those given conditions, they are supposed to support Ali ibn Abi Talib, even if it means war between Muslims. He didn't have people that had that understanding. He didn't have people with basira, with understanding. People got confused. A confused people cannot support the haq.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. English Radio.
ocean of dua.
أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance, and also benefits of dua. So stay with us. Dear listeners, we were talking about some parts of Ziyarah to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam containing Shahada and testimony. I bear witness that you conveyed from Allah what He had ordered you with and did not fear anyone other than Him. And I bear witness that you are the servant of Allah and His trustee. So this divine successorship and imamah that we bear witness to in this Ziyarah is not a kind of successorship which is discontinuous or perishable. But this imamah has its connection with the imamah of the leaders of monotheism in history before Imam Husayn alayhi salam. You may remember that we talked about the family of monotheism. So this imamah has the connection with the leaders of monotheism from the time of Prophet Adam, Nuh, Abraham, till the time of Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and after that Imam Ali alayhi salam and Hussein alayhi salam. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam inherits this imamah with all its values, its duties, responsibilities, all right from Prophet Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi wasallam and his children.
Alhamdulillah khaliq al-khalq باسط الرزق فالق الأصباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى.
In chapter Al Imran, the 33rd verse, the Holy Quran states, إن الله اصطفى آدم ونوحا وآل إبراهيم وآل عمران على العالمين. Indeed, Allah has chosen Adam and Nuh, the progeny of Ibrahim and the progeny of Imran, above all nations. And it continues saying, some of them are the descendants of the others. Wallahu sami'un alim. And Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. So now Imam Hussein alayhi salam was bearing this great heritage and its responsibilities, and he carried it with him to Karbala so that he may argue with it against those deviated people, against those people that some of them were led astray by others. So he wanted to defend the religion. And this is the communication in clear terms